A 2019 investigation by 7Days and VPR revealed Vermont's state-regulated elder care facilities often failed their residents with medical errors and accidents leading to harm and sometimes deaths. A few months after the story, COVID-19 struck. State officials told these facilities to lock their doors to keep the virus out. But a new series from VPR and 7Days reveals that problems that existed before the pandemic continued and sometimes worsened, only largely out of sight. And as VPR's Liam Elder Connors reports, the seclusion of the last year has taken a devastating toll on the well-being of residents.
Mansfield Place seemed perfect for Beverly Peters. The 120-bed assisted living facility in Essex Junction was close to her daughter. There were caretakers to help the 94-year-old and plenty of ways to stay social.
She helped to start a glee club.
That's Peter's daughter, Pam Reith.
She was involved in some kind of a committee that had to do with the food they served. It was kind of like a residence committee complaining about the food or, you know, just trying to make things better.
Peters moved to Vermont from Southern California at the age of 80 so she could live out her final years near her daughter. Reith says they spent a lot of time together, but everything changed when COVID-19 hit last March. Governor Phil Scott ordered elder care facilities like Mansfield Place to stop visitations in communal activities.
The residents were confined to their rooms to keep from spreading the illness. I couldn't go into her apartment. At that time, I couldn't visit with her.
Reith and her mom started to video chat every day. A few times, Reith drove over to Mansfield Place and stood outside. Her mom would wave from the window of her third floor apartment. In summer, as coronavirus cases dropped, the state allowed elder care homes to arrange outdoor, socially distanced visits. Mansfield Place set up 8-foot-long tables, but that arrangement didn't work for Reith and her mom.
My mom is profoundly hard of hearing, and we would be at opposite ends of that 8 feet, but she couldn't hear me.
By August, Peter's demeanor was changing. She had no interest in video chats. She lost 35 pounds in 2 months and began to fall more frequently. Her doctor diagnosed her with depression.
She stopped reading. She stopped doing the things that had brought her enjoyment. She had a little electric piano. She stopped playing the piano. And she said she was just staring out the window looking at the cars.
Reith says the seclusion of the past year led to her mom's rapid decline, though she doesn't blame Mansfield Place. Reith's mom is not the only one. Jessica Rouse is a physician in Middlebury and has patients inside long-term care facilities. She says more seniors are being diagnosed with depression and prescribed antidepressants.
At the beginning of the pandemic, we made the choice that we needed to protect our elders because their risk of dying from COVID was so more significant. But there absolutely has been these consequences that we weren't really expecting.
There are state regulations to ensure residents get social and emotional support. The Residents' Bill of Rights requires homes to have visiting hours and says residents, quote, shall be allowed to associate, communicate, and meet privately with people. Advocates say during the pandemic, residents lost those rights. Alice Harder is a regional long-term care ombudsman in the Northeast Kingdom.
People in residential care couldn't make the same decisions I made about my movement because I live here, home alone. Those folks still should have had some choices. They should have had more choice than what they were given.
Some home care operators acknowledge that their residents missed out on important parts of their care. Before the pandemic, families could just drop by Riverbend Care Home in Chelsea. Now, they need to schedule visits, and a Riverbend staffer supervises to make sure everyone stays 6 feet apart. All the residents are vaccinated, but the only touching allowed is a brief hug. Jennifer Doyle, the owner of Riverbend, says it's not an ideal setup, but the state directed elder care homes to, quote, do what we can to protect people from dying.
Their physical care and their medical needs have been absolutely well met. Emotionally, we're doing our best to meet their needs, but we can't deny that decreased family access has had an impact on people.
State regulators have signaled they won't penalize homes for inadequate social stimulation during the pandemic. Governor Phil Scott, in a recent interview with VPR, says the restrictions were needed.
In doing so, we had to shut them off from the outside world, which seemed, you know, in some ways cruel as well. It's bothered me ever since, but it was necessary to protect them.
I have to have my mask. I have to have a right mask, and I have to have a face protector.
Oh, yeah.
In January, Pam Reith's mom was diagnosed with dementia and went to hospice. That means under state protocols, Reith can visit her in person. She goes every day.
Up, and then I go in and it's 80 degrees and I strip.
On a recent Saturday, Reith suits up in the required protective equipment. Goggles, face shield, and a mask. Reith stays for as long as she can, usually a couple of hours. She and her mom play games, chat, and watch cheesy Hallmark Christmas movies. But her mom gets tired. She sleeps about 20 hours a day.
Sometimes she just can't seem to stay awake and she'll lie down on the bed, so I just curl up behind her and kind of put my arms around her and hug her.
The human touch is important, Reith says, and that's something her mom has missed for a long time. For VPR News, I'm Liam Elder Connors.
This story was co-reported with 7 Days reporter Derek Brower.